We're back in Derech Hashem. We're in Perek Dalid. We've transitioned from looking at kind of the longitudinally the entire scope of human history in Bamina Enoshi and man's place within that, man's central role within that, to the specifically what is the nature of man's reality right now in a post-Chayv Adam Rishon world. And last time we discussed what a wonderful, exciting, happy place it is. Like a slurp. It is a wonderful, happy place. Except not. Everything or less, I'm actually painted a really dark, horrifying picture of the world where there's no hope. Is humanity doomed? It's on the board. Good, yes. So at least, because Sherry has an innate sense of hashkafic correctness, she added a question mark. Right? Is humanity doomed? It's unclear. Because we're only up to Oud Gimel.
Well, according to climate change,
you have to spot the word.
What?
That was my intention.
Okay.
Climate
change? In Oud Aleph last time, he very simply and very clearly differentiated man and the world into two parts. Man in the world. There's man, there's his innate sense of being, and then there's the world of reality in which he lives. And as he then broke down in Otiot, Beth, and Gimel, man's reality is incredibly thick and dark. Everything we do, everything we are, a physical being, the things that we are, that we need to do in order to function, our whole reality is very dark. And also the world that we live in is dark and thick as well. And therefore there is no hope. We are
doomed.
Oh my gosh, it goes back into what you talked about on Shabbos, about what do we expect of our superheroes.
Right. Ish. Longer conversation for not now. So now we come to Oud Dalid. One of my favorite paragraphs, actually, in all of Derech Hashem. An incredible... Perek Dalet itself is a little bit of a funny perek in Chelek Aleph. It's funny here in terms of the context of everything that we've been learning and the kind of the structure of Derech Hashem. But it's an incredibly powerful piece that he has here. So let's see what he does with this new, deep, dark, thick, horrifying reality in which we live where there seems to be no hope. The Ramchal says as follows. The ulam. What does the ulam mean?
However.
However. Thank God. Right? There's a however, right? Yes, all this is bad, but here's how we deal with reality as it stands. Me'omek atzat chochmato. From the depth of God's wisdom, Yibarach Shemo, hayalis sadir ha'dvarim ba'ofen. He organized things in such a way. Even though man is now sunken into physicality by necessity, as we talked about, because he brought more chisaron into himself, because it became quantitatively and qualitatively deeper, and therefore not only did he sink into physicality, the world sank into physicality, into chomer, darkness, murkiness. That's all by necessity, meaning it's all action and reaction. Techet Adam HaRishon. Kemo shekatav, as we said before, as he wrote before, Yuchal mitoch haChomer atzmo, that man would be able to, from within the physicality itself, va'isak agufani, and through his bodily actions, still be able to he hasig et hashlimut v'ha'italut el hazoch ve'el hama'ala, to attain, to grasp perfection and tremendous heights of purity and loftiness. Through the physicality itself. And then he'll say even stronger, the adaraba, the exact opposite. Hashbalato tihyeh hagbahato. To create a reality where his man's lowliness is his loftiness. My favorite phrases in the Sefer. Hashbalato tihyeh hagbahato. Umisham, and from that place of lowliness, from that place of darkness, Misham yikne ikar v'chavod she'inkano. From there, he'll be able to acquire glory and honor like no other. How? Biyot hofeich et hachoshech laor, by turning darkness into light. Ve'et hatzalmavet lenoga izrach, and the shadow of death into sparkling brilliance. Which would just be awesome in and of itself, even if it didn't mean anything, but it does mean a lot. It's unbelievable. You know, you kind of like, it's like Thoreau kind of like accidentally forgot that he was censored and just like let a little bit of that, you know, earlier pre-1720, you know, like Kabbalist, writer, playwright, poet, like you just, a little bit of that sort of seeps out right here in terms of his view on reality and the way that he portrays things. Not that the whole book isn't beautifully written, but there's a little bit of poetry that kind of just seeps out here. Incredible phraseology. Ashpalatot yaibato, misham yiknei yikar v'chavod she'en kamo, v'yotofech at ha'choshech la'or v'et ha'tzalmavet l'noga yizrach. So first of all, just an aside, what imagery does that evoke? No one?
Even people? That reminds me of Gum Kiela.
Okay, this might be what he's relating back to. Especially people who have been learning, we've been learning together for a few years now.
Something about a creepa.
I mean, this is all perm terminology. Look at the words, right? It's all v'nafochu.
Oh, yeah.
It's all v'nafochu. Hashpalatot yag ba'ato. Misham ikne ikar v'chavod she'in kamo biot hofech at ha'choshech la'or v'et ha'salam v'et l'noga yizrach. It's all perm terminology, isn't it? It's one of the reasons why I feel the perm is such an important thing to emphasize. Meaning he's saying that whatever it is that perm is building up through v'nafochu, through I'm thinking of Havdalah now, or l'choshech yisrael, I mean, through what's the pasuk from the Megillah which talks about
it?
I think it's even more explicit about turning things around. But in any event, about that sense of really switch of everything turning it on its head, very much is what we strive for to achieve in this world, and that's literally what he's saying here. That's what we're striving to achieve in this world. That what happens is that when man is lowered down, so it's on man, meaning we brought in more darkness into the world. We brought more darkness into ourselves. We made ourselves more physical. We made it impossible through the second level of encasing the neshama for the neshama to ever be able to break through the gulf in the way that it is. We brought ourselves into a world, into a situation, into an internal and external place that's dark and murky and impossible. But that's the beginning of Od Daled. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'omek Atzad Chochmato, is from his deep wisdom, is able to then re-engineer things, to transform that stumbling block into a stepping stone. He reorganizes the reality that we've created to create a situation where we can then, from that lowliness, utilize our low position and transform it into an ability to propel ourselves forward in a way that we couldn't have before. How? So let's read forward. But that's what he's claiming here. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Is that, yes, if God would have just let things as they were, and we would have just fallen, we would have been entrapped in the reality that we created for ourselves. So God kind of snuck in and rewrote the rules in a way that we could take advantage of our new situation, which previously we couldn't. Created ways for us to take advantage of it that would propel us forward, if we choose to accept them. Clear without any content? Yes, no, ladies, or kind of? I don't have Elisa here today to jump up and down and yell and scream, so I need your help, Aviva.
You, like, read.
There we go. Meaning, from the place, had we come down on our own, as we did, and we lowered ourselves internally and externally, ourselves and the world around us, to a place that's more physical, that's more dark, where the neshama can't shine anywhere near as brightly as it did before, where there's no chance of purifying the body. It is hopeless. We are doomed. We are doomed. God says, yes, but, vi'ulam, however. And God then says, from this reality, I'm going to turn everything on its head. How? By creating a system within that reality where you can actually utilize all of this to take you back up even farther. But God has to add something into the system in order to make that happen. Yeah.
What I don't understand about God adding something into the system is that before this, all this stuff happened as a result of what man was doing. So why is it all of a sudden now God's adding something?
So God is not going to undermine the basic principle of this world. What's the basic principle? What's at the heart and soul of this world? Good. That was an even simpler way than I was thinking of it. I was thinking man and then free will, but the free will to do what? To work or not to work. Great. He's not going to undermine the avoda. But, you see, this is where things get really interesting when you plug it back in. Even in this world, what's more important, right? Let's go back to our original paradigm that we always have on the board that we stopped because Paragdala doesn't always, that it always is relating back to it, but not as explicitly as normally. Here's a great example of why you need to keep plugging it in. What's our paradigm? What's our system top down?
Hashem.
Yeah?
Soul.
Yeah? Which we've expanded into?
Yeah.
Right. Let's call it Adam for sake of time. Right? What's the most important thing in this paradigm?
Hashem.
Yes. God is the answer to that question.
I mean, it's so important. How are you supposed to tell which is the most important part?
By the arrows.
Okay.
Right? Hashem is the most important at the top. What's the second most important thing?
I don't know.
You're like one step far too far down. This is one.
So it's him.
This is two. This is three. God is the most important thing. Without God, there's no point in talking about anything. You know why? Because we couldn't speak. Because there would be no words, there would be no speech, there would be no world, there would be no nothing. Because without God, there's nothing. We think, okay, as we talked about before, remember we talked about in the concept of Sof Maaseh Machshavah Tchilah, that we always think about it as man. But at the end of Perek Bet, I think, we read, or Gimel, we redefined it. It's not man. What is Sof Maaseh Machshavah Tchilah?
Shabbos.
Tov, Dvikut, Olam Haba. Even though this world is incredibly important and it's the third most important thing, it's still only the third. And so the way that I understand it, and I've verified to a certain extent with my mentor on this, not in this in the context of here, and to questions we've had previously, is that while this world is really important because this world gives us the opportunity to earn more goodness, it never is going to override number two. It can't override number two. We can't put, if this world ends up pulling us so far away that we can't accept any goodness,
then there's no point.
Then this was not just a failed experiment, but it's a disaster. Because this was only meant to get us more too. It was only meant to get us more tov, more dvekut. So what I understand is happening here is that our actions must have consequences. And we talked about that extensively. That if the whole point is that we're working here to acquire shlemut, perfection, and internalize it, to rather be a part of ourselves, so we're more like God, because the more we spiritually resemble something, the more dvekut we have. Right? Remember all those conversations from Perek Bet? So too, we have to have an equal and opposite capacity, zelu umat zasa elokim, we have to have an equal and opposite capacity to internalize chisaron, and to bring the world down, and to make it more physical, and to make it darker, and to make it murkier. And we did that. And that's real. So God's not going to say, oh, okay, fine. It's like a Nintendo system. Just hit the reset button. Right? And everything will be fine. Right? Jump on a coin and get extra lives. Like, it doesn't work like that. There's no get out of jail free card. The reality, as we've discussed previously, this reality does resemble our reality, the one that we discussed in Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. It's murky, it's dark, it's depressing, it may make us think we're doomed. World events over the last few weeks certainly don't add any light to the situation. It may seem like it's hopeless. It may seem impossible, and that's on a world level, let alone every individual person's yetzer hara and difficulties in their own personal life, and trying to do avodas Hashem in the face of impossible odds drawing us toward physicality, which is really what he's talking about on a more literal level. That's never going to change. But the ultimate goal can never be taken away. And therefore, God can inject into the system and say, okay, fine, you brought it down, but I'm going to add in a couple of elements in here that weren't there before. which doesn't change this fact, which doesn't change the world as it is, but to give you an opportunity, which you didn't have before, in order to get to number two. It doesn't undermine free will and avodah, because without free will and avodah, then just skip this world and just give the tov when whatever you can get, you can get. Then what's the point? End this world now. If there's no free choice, if there's no avodah, if there's no bechirah chofshit, no avodah, then there's no point. That's what this world is defined as. It's olam ha'avodah. But he can definitely create greater opportunity, and as I think I in my own attempt to be pithy, I entitled this shir in the email I sent out at the beginning of the week, God's Way of Turning Lemons into Lemonade. Mm-hmm. It's still lemons, and I never understood that phrase, because lemonade is still super tart, right?
But it tastes good.
But at least you got something to work with.
And if you have to add a lot of sugar.
Then you're still doomed. But the idea is to be able to literally. Sorry, we got lost there for a second. But what Akadosh Baruch Hu is doing is taking that reality that we have and adding in elements.
Are we finally going to introduce the Torah? Is that where this is leading?
And
yes.
What?
And
mitzvot.
Torah mitzvot.
Yes.
I don't love a room that gets excited by that. So these little stars, right? So here's our key, and a star equals Torah or mitzvot. Exactly the point. Because no, but let's build it. Let's build it logically. What do Torah and mitzvot do? What do they do? What is the? What do mitzvot do? What? What did you say?
Bring you closer.
Is it bring light? I was like, I think you just said that, but I can't believe that came from you. Yes, they do. But somebody who's more rational than Marissa, tell me what do mitzvot actually do?
Bring you closer to Hashem.
That was expected. I would answer from you and not from you. Good. Somewhere in the middle.
They tell you how to live your life the right way.
Be more specific. Think, again, beat the Ramchal to the punch.
They tell you how to acquire, like, okay.
Plug it in! You're so close! You're all so close!
They tell you how not be doing that.
They help you achieve dvaka.
How? What do they tell you?
Voda
to cling to God.
You're all thinking so spiritually and so out there. That's great. What do they tell you to do?
What to do?
What to do with what?
What to do
and what not to do?
With the physicality.
Thank you! That's why you said Torah meets vote. Meaning what happens, we'll see it all inside the text, but it's so much better when we earn it on our own. You know why? Because when you earn something, it's more meaningful. Okay? What the Ramchal is saying is that at this point, we get sunken so deeply into the physicality is bombarding us, and we're trapped. We're trapped in this physicality. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu injects into the system is Torah and Mitzvot. Why Mitzvot? Mitzvot are saying, okay, what I'm going to do now is tell you all of this stuff was dark. That's the chab, it was dark. But Hofek et HaChoshech La'or, which is what Marissa said, that you actually got both sides. Choshech La'or, we're going to turn it into light. How do we turn that darkness into light? By, I'm telling you, if you take and utilize that darkness in this way, according to my will, says God, then suddenly you've done an act of avodah, in which you've acquired shlemut, and utilized that physicality as a way to propel you toward perfection.
Woo.
You're with me? Yes. What? It's not me, it's him. They're on call, it's amazing. But that's the point, and that's why Torah and mitzvot were not relevant until now. That's why we need so many mitzvot. Beforehand, Adam Rishon, don't eat from the tree. Well, first of all, not eating from the tree was really clearly very complicated. Because it didn't work. And he failed. Okay? They did. But they ate from the fruit. But they don't need more mitzvot than that, because beforehand, when we were over here, so then it was, don't eat from the fruit. Fine, so don't eat from the fruit. We did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. We acquired a little bit of shlemut, which means a little closer to God, a little more tov. Great, this little tangent was a very, very short tangent, and we go right back to number two. We go right back to the tov, we go right back to the dvekut. We took ourselves down further. So God says, fine, you want to make more physicality? So what I'm going to do is to create more opportunities for you to take advantage of that physicality as Avodat Hashem to acquire shlemut. And so therefore, now watch, you're going to be able to literally say it out for the Ramchal. Watch.
And now it makes sense why, like, every little thing has, like, a place in Torah. Like, people always ask those questions, like, oh, does God really care if... But now you know.
I...
Well, whatever. Now it makes sense that why every little thing has an opportunity.
Because the Torah is the way to engage the physical world that we live in. Kacha, zeu. It's so perfectly logical. You may agree or disagree with it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's logical. And incredibly precise. And that's why he hasn't used those terms until now. He hasn't talked about any Torah, and any, well, he's going to still leave the Torah out for a while, because that's not where he's going with this particular train of thought. But he's going to start introducing mitzvot, because mitzvot were not relevant until now. It was just a tzivui. Don't do this. If you don't do it, you did what you were supposed to do. If you do do it, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and we'll deal with the ramifications. Zeo, that's all you need. Now, with the increased physicality, so then there's a whole new realm of opportunity called mitzvot. And watch how he phrases it. V'zeh, ki haborei parach shemo, sam gvulot ustarim l'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets gvulot, borders, and starim, systems for man, b'tashmish sheyishtamesh me'olam uvriyotav, in the way in which he interacts with the world and everything that's in it. U'vakavanah sheyitkaven bahem. Before we even go forward, what are the two things that he gives to mankind? There are the words on the page.
Awesome. Let's put moving forward to the board. Gvulot and Sdarim.
Is that like Lotase?
Boom. I didn't even have to finish writing it. Because it's so logical. Why are there two categories? Because there are two ways in which to interact with the physical world to take advantage of it. There are some things we stay away from and some things we utilize. So the gvulot are going to become the lotases, and the starim are going to become the ases. Here are the things that you don't cross. Here are the boards and the boundaries, the things you don't touch, you don't interact with, the lows. And once I know exactly what my borders are, then I need to know what to do with it. I can't eat a chazir. Hope that wasn't enlightening for anyone. I know when you do halakha, you're like, no, I hope this wasn't. We don't eat chazir, okay? But let's say we do have an oaf. Great. What do I do with that? I have to know how to shech. I have to know how to remove the blood. I have to know how to cook it properly. I have to know not to meat and dairy. Then that's all of the starim. There are gvulot and starim.
So for the lotases, are those things that have no opportunity to, like...
They have tremendous opportunity. You know what their opportunity is?
Stay away from them.
Yeah.
But, so, like, there's no way to make, like, let's say a pig or whatever, like, holy, like kodesh. I'm just like,
there's a way to make animals in general.
I mean, we believe that you can't do tzar bali chayim, so I guess, like, if you saw that one was hurt, maybe you'd, like, take it out or whatever. You're a veterinarian. I don't think if you're, like, you're a veterinarian, you're like, I won't treat pigs. Like, I don't know if that's a thing.
No, I know.
But in terms of the realm of food, no, of course not. Choosing the chicken?
Okay.
They already gave away the entire rest of the paragraph. So. Kivanten.
What?
Kivanten, I assume.
Kivanten.
Okay. You were saying? Sure.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he gives him gvulot. And again, that's the way it needs to be said. That's why, unsurprisingly, in Misilat Yishrim, written by the Ramchal, his first chapter is Zihirut, what you guard yourself from, the lotases, put up the fences, and then Zrizut, what do you take all that energy and throw yourself at once you know that you're in a realm of things that you're supposed to be doing. Gvulot ustarim. In terms of what a person should do, and this is really interesting, he divides what we do with those into two as well. The actions that we take with the world and everything in it. We'll have to come back to this, and he's going to come back to this. This is not me harping on this. He's going to come back to this himself. There's tashmish, and then there's kavana. And those are two different things. One of which we do very well, one of which we as a people in this day and age fail at spectacularly. Correct. Tashmish, the empty physical action, the kavanah is what we pour into it. And we'll talk about that more at length when he addresses it at length. Okay? Asher bihishtamesh me'am ha'adam, that when a person interacts with the world properly, it interacts with the world, with all of the gvulot, and all of the starim, and again emphasizing the point, and all of the kavanah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu demanded, commanded, that we interact with them, that very physical action itself will cause perfection. And that will bring in etzem, means essence, or into the deepest depths of a person. It will essentialize, which isn't an English word, but that's what it means here, right? It will create as part of his essence a reality of shlemut and tremendous height. He'll raise up from his lowly place and come to a much higher place.
Al kol klalei hachesronot hamudbaim beinyano shel haadam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gazed deeply at all of the lackings which are embedded into a person. Val kol yinenei ha-ma'alav ha-yikar ha-amiti ha-mitzarchim lo liyot ra'uy l'shiyeh mitdabek bo yibarach shemo v'ne'aneh betuvo, and all of the height and the true glory that's necessary for a person to achieve dvekut to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to really enjoy his goodness, because again, that has to be the goal of Olam Hazeh, is the Tov and the Dvekut. Ukineged kol zeh sidra lo starim, and according to all of these things that he creates sidarim, v'yigbila lo gvulot, that he make gvulot, meaning all the starim and the gvulot are all for what goal? Are all designed specifically to achieve what? Shlemut, and then for, and therefore Tov and Vekut, which makes sense, because again, that's why we were, even pre-Chedan Amrishon, that's why we were here. God always has the goal in mind. He never loses sight of that goal. Which also gives depth to Mitzvah and Mitzvah. You realize that Torah and Mitzvah are not just a bunch of random rules. They are specifically tailored to the reality that we created for the purpose of utilizing it to draw ourselves up as specifically as possible to the Tov and the Vekut. Nothing is random. Everything is finely tailored for that goal and for the reality that we created for ourselves. Despite the fact that we destroyed everything, God spent the time and took, so to speak, took the energy and the effort and the time and the care and the, to specifically align every single thing that he's adding into the world of mitzvot based on the matzav that we created for the for his original goal that still is the is which is still the ultimate goal. Asher b'shamro otam, that when a person keeps these mitzvot, when he keeps these gvulot and sarim, yit'atzim bo kol ma shetzarich min ha-ma'ala ha-miti shezacharnu, he will, again, essentialize, bring into his essence all of the loftiness that he needs to achieve, v'yishulal me'inyano kol ma shu harchaka min ha-dvekut ha-elyon, and will remove from him any distance from ultimate lofty connection to godliness. Through the keeping of the mitzvah, through the keeping of the gvulot and the starim. V'ilu lo hayita hagzera gzura shiyamut, and if had there not been a decree that man needs to die, kemosh zacharnu le'el, as we said previously, right, in the middle of Perek Gimel, al yedei ha-ma'asim ha'ila hayita neshama mitchazeket, v'chol shek aguf mitlachesh, bopen shiyem izdakek al yada zikuch gamor, umit'alim shnehem el hadvekut bo yitbarach shemo. What is he saying here? I don't know if you want to translate. You guys know. Had there not been a gezira of death, what would doing this have done?
You would acquire, your physicality would get less and less.
Had there not been a gezira of death because of the fact that our meaning, which is not, meaning that our body was too thick for which the soul to shine forth, then, by doing these mitzvot, by doing these gvulot and starim, by engaging the world in this way, that would have been enough to allow the soul to shine forth through the body, purify it, and raise it up to the next world. It's only the gezeirah that holds back. Meaning, it's not that the mitzvot that we do in this impossible reality are of a lesser quality, are not as good. No, so when things, as we went through, and beat by beat in Perek Gimel, our bodies can no longer be purified by the soul, and therefore we need to go through a process of death and resurrection. Death, decomposition, and resurrection. But it's not because of the lack of quality of our mitzvot. It's because of the gezeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's because our physicality has gotten too strong.
And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was gozer that the neshama can no longer break through that physicality, but it doesn't change the fact that the mitzvot that we're doing are just as powerful. That if we were in a pre-chet adam harishon body, they would burst through it and purify it and bring it up if we do all of these mitzvot. Word for word. If there hadn't been the decree of death, Kemosh Zachanu La'ayel, we've said before, Alidea Masim Ha'ile, through these actions, Ha'itan Neshama Techazeket, the Neshama would get stronger. Again, these are all terminology from Perek Gimel. V'choshek Aguf Mitlachish, and the darkness of the body would get weaker. Ba'ofin Shayamiz Dakech Al Yadazi Huchamor, and the way that it would purify it, a complete purification. Umatlim Shnehem, and the two of them would raise up, El Hadvekut Boi Barashmo, to a complete Dvekut with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is another way of saying it would bring the body to Olam Haba, which is what achieves the mut, and therefore bring the body to Olam Haba. Ulefisha hagzirah gzurah, but once that decree was made, ena davar naaseh b'pa'am achat, it can't happen all at one time. Ach al kol panim mitchazek haneshama be'atzma, but that doesn't change the fact that the neshama, with every, we'll just use the word mitzvah, it's linatu, with every mitzvah that we do, it doesn't change the fact that our neshama is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and brighter and brighter and brighter. It's just entrapped within itself. Va'aguf mitzakech b'koach. And the body is being purified in potential energy, just not actualizing itself. Even though it's not actually being purified, if the potential energy, the body is feeling that build in potential energy. And the person is acquiring for themselves a reality of perfection in potential. Koach versus poal, potential versus actualization. In potential. Which then in the proper time, it will actually feel. When is that time?
No.
More specifically? No, dafka, not Olam HaNeshamot. There's no connection between the body. In Olam HaNeshamot, what does Olam HaNeshamot mean, Hannah? What does Olam HaNeshamot mean? What does it mean?
I don't know.
What does Olam mean?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. What does Olam mean?
World.
What is Neshamot?
Neshamot.
So what exists in that world?
Neshamot.
So what's after that when the Neshamot and the Guf are united in? Where we started from, Tzkiyat HaMeitim. In Tzkiyat HaMeitim, the reunification of the body and the soul, then it will just enact upon it the way it was meant to.
So,
1 second, the last line, just to make sure that we know that I'm not making stuff up. Hey, achastarim ba'gol ta'ila, to everybody's surprise here, heina heim klal ha-mitzvot ha-asim va'alavim. So we'll start with that next time, but we're not adding in here words that weren't already right there at the surface. And he identifies those things as mitzvot lo ta'aseh mitzvot ta'aseh. Yeah.
Okay, so where he says, v'choshen ha-guf mitchalesh, and the darkness of the body would get weaker. But then, I thought the whole point of the gzeira that you have of death is because the body was so physical that there would be no way for the soul.
Right, meaning if the soul were able to enact the way that, based on its potential energy, then it would do that, but it can't because of the gezeira.
But like, why? I once again don't understand. I understood before why there was a gezeira of death, but I don't understand now. Why bother with the whole? Why not have everybody come to this world, try to do mitzvot as best as they can, and then at some point everyone will just fly up?
Because they can. Because after chet adam harishon, the body, the physicality became too dark and deep, that the neshama can't shine through.
But then how come he's saying the choshech haguf mitchalesh?
No, that's the ilu lo hayita gzera. If there hadn't been the gzera of death, as being the gezeira that death is the only way to possibly purify from the darkness that we brought into ourselves.
Okay.
If that wouldn't have been the case, he's saying, if you take that gezeira out of the picture, that was what I was trying to stress, the mitzvot that we're doing are just as powerful. But the gezeira comes to combat that.
Is it the gezeira that combats it, or the fact that we chose Chesaron and now we're...
He assumes the two are one and the same, and that's why he says, Kamosha Zaharno, go back and review Perek Gimel if you want clarity on that.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't undo what we did in Perek Gimel, no.
Okay.
Okay. So, to be continued on Tuesday, next Tuesday. B'shrat Hashem.